To be a Jew is to believe in impossible dreams. To be a Jew is to believe that slaves can become free. It is to believe that the senselessness of this world can be disrupted by divine words that break through the barrier between heaven and earth. It is to trust, even on our darkest days, that we are part of God's dream. We call the dream different things: redemption, the Messiah, the world to come. But all of them, at their core, mean the same thing. There is a story being told through the chaos of this world, if we know how to read it. And we have been promised that the story leads somewhere good. So much of the Torah until Shlach is about all the ways we fail to believe in the dream. The story of the Egel and the story of the spies are different accounts of failures of faith, but in both, the people share that in common: an inability to believe in the dream, a distrust of the possibility that their lives, their history, their journey may lead somewhere good, an inability to imagine that things might ever be different than what they have been. With the aftermath of the story of the spies, the focus shifts. We are no longer concerned with lack of belief in the dream. Instead, we are faced with what is possibly an even more frightening question: what does it look like to believe when the contours of the dream have shifted in ways that make it unrecognizable? In the aftermath of the spies' report and the people's faithlessness, God tells the Jewish people that they are facing exactly that scenario. "Say to them, 'As I live,' says God, 'I will do to you just as you have urged me. In this very wilderness shall your carcasses drop. Of all who were recorded in your various lists from the age of 20 years and up, you who have muttered against me, not one shall enter the land which I swore to settle you.'" The story has changed, God tells us. Its basic contours are the same: a people freed from slavery headed to the promised land where they will live in covenant with God. But in the details, everything is different. Instead of being weeks away from entering the land, the Jewish people of this generation will die in the desert. The story, as far as they are concerned, has changed beyond all recognition. What does one do when the story that shapes everything you had imagined your life to be heading towards changes? What happens when the way you imagine the divine plan will unfold no longer matches reality? For some of the Jewish people, the answer seems to be: you pretend that nothing has changed. Early the next morning, they set out toward the crest of the hill country, saying, "We are prepared to go up to the place that God has spoken of, for we were wrong." But Moshe said, "Why do you transgress God's command? This will not succeed." The Ma'apilim, the Jews who insist on ignoring God's decree and attempting to enter the land immediately, are unable to face a world in which the narrative that shapes their lives has changed. Instead, they try to take the world and forcibly impose the story as they had imagined it. The Sforno notes that the word vayapilu, defiantly, literally means stiffened or hardened. Vayapilu, they stiffen their attitude, similar to Shmot 6:13, where Paro is reported as stiffening his attitude, and as a result, not paying heed to Moshe and Aharon's warning. Like Paro, the Jews who insist on defying God's declaration are unable to face a world that has changed in ways they never imagined. Their inability to adapt comes from an active decision, like Paro, to make themselves rigid rather than supple. Like Paro, who ignores the evidence before his eyes as his nation faces disaster because he is too frightened of what this new reality might mean, the Ma'apilim try to force the world, and God, to accommodate the story as they had imagined it. Others, however, abandon the story altogether. Once, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, they came upon a man gathering wood on Shabbat. The story of the wood gatherer is enigmatic. Who is this man who decides to go out on Shabbat to gather wood, and why is this story told here so soon after the story of the spies? Perhaps the answer is because the wood gatherer, like the Ma'apilim, is reacting to God's declaration that this generation will die without seeing the land. His action, public violation of Shabbat, is, in the context of the Torah, a public declaration that he does not accept our covenant with God. Unlike the Ma'apilim, who try to use force to ensure that the old story and its dream of their arrival in Israel will not change, the wood gatherer abandons the story altogether. If the story will not play out in all its details as we had once imagined, he declares through his actions, the story is meaningless. The dream is over, and with it, the covenant. But the vast majority of the Jewish people does not take the option of either the Ma'apilim or the wood gatherer. Instead, they do something that, within the narrative, seems unremarkable. They accept that the story is different from what they imagined while continuing to believe in its promise. Most often, when we read Bamidbar, we ignore this decision. But what the Jewish people do in continuing to follow Moshe and God is actually an act of tremendous courage. Day after day, for 40 years, the Jewish people wake up and continue a journey whose destination they know they will never see. In the unnamed mass of the generation of the wilderness, we encounter a third option: the choice to believe in the story even when it is longer and messier and more complicated than you could have imagined. This is the choice our ancestors, buried in unmarked graves in the wilderness, made with every footstep as they followed God through the desert. Knowing that they would never enter the land, they raised children who, they trusted, one day would. They taught their children to believe in a promise they knew they would not live to see. And in doing that, they planted the seeds that would allow their descendants to continue to traverse an interminable wilderness of time, trusting in the story our ancestors taught us. This is the path of the wilderness that our ancestors bequeathed us. It is a path of faith that says, I will not pretend that the world has not changed, but I will also not say that that change means the story is over. It is a path for those who say, the story may be longer and more complicated, and sometimes more beautiful and sometimes more tragic than I ever imagined. And I do not know if I will live to see how the story ends. And still I will walk forward in the desert and teach it to my children. And somehow, step after step and word after word, together, we will create a world where the story's promise is true.